fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the weekend. Thank you, Daniel Craig. Some of you might be going out to watch Daniel Craig this weekend, No Time to Die. His final run as James Bond. I'm going to see that eventually. Huge James Bond fan. You know that I am. And I'm a big fan of you guys, too. I want to hear from you. 1-888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. It's a toll-free line to call. I want to ask you this question. It's Friday. A lot of people, you know, it's a penitential day. That's the day that Jesus died, of course. A lot of people are in the habit of going to confession on a Friday or maybe sometime on the weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, go to confession on the weekend. But I want to know, what is the harshest penance that you've ever received from a confessor? Now, just to be clear, I don't want to know what your sin was, okay? Don't tell me that. I'm not going to ask you what sin you committed to deserve such a penance. I don't want to know. We'll keep that under the confessional seal, of course. But if you want to share, what's the harshest penance you've ever received? I want to hear about that. Maybe if you have questions about penance. A lot of people ask questions about it. Do you have to do your penance in order for your sins to be forgiven? We will reveal the answer to that question. That's a hot button question a lot of people ask. Is it okay for a priest to give you a harsh penance? Can you ask him for a different one? I don't like that one. Try again. I want to hear about this. So call in 1-888-914-9149. It's a great topic for a Friday. And by the way, you can also tweet at me. I put up a tweet about this on my show, on my account. And please retweet it on my account, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. We also have a show account, too, at Cale Clark Show. You can email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Great place to ask questions and future show ideas. We're always looking for that. But what got me thinking about this was I read just an awesome article by Michelle McDaniel. And you can follow her on Twitter, too, at Michelle. It's kind of I have to spell this out for you, at Michelle underscore McDan. So Michelle, the normal way, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E. I know there's different ways to spell Michelle, how many L's and all that stuff. Yeah, so one L sometimes, yep. Yeah. But at Michelle, with two L's and an E in the end, underscore M-C, capital D-A-N, Michelle McDaniel. So anyways, really, really cool article that she wrote for The Pillar, which is a very popular, pillarcatholic.com is a very popular Catholic news source run by J.D. Flynn and Ed Condon. And the article is called True Confessions of a Confessor, Everything You Wanted to Know About Penances. And what she really did was she interviewed three priests about this topic, you know, about penances, what you can do, what you can't do, what are your rights, what are your rights in the confessional. And she starts off by talking about, and we've all maybe had this experience when you're going to confession in your local parish and there's a couple different priests there and you can kind of pick which confessional you go into. Sometimes you avoid the priest that you know gives you hard penances, like the other guy's got the huge lineup, the penance guy is like, you know, there's only two people in his lineup. So maybe you've had that experience. So what exactly is an appropriate penance? That's a really good question. What are the rules about this? Well, again, Michelle McDaniel asked three different priest confessors to see about this. So once again, I want to hear, what is your heart? I'm going to reveal the harshest penance I ever got. I'm not going to tell you what I did, but I'm going to tell you the harshest penance I ever got. It shocked me, but I did it. I did it. I didn't ask for a replacement penance. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call toll free. 1-888-914-9149. Toll free. It's free to talk to me. So what Michelle McDaniel did was interview three different priests to see what we can learn about this practice of penance. And so the first guy that she talked to was Father Rock. I think it's pronounced Rock, R-O-C-H. Could be Roche, I guess, but I'm going to go with Rock because it sounds Father Rock. It's like Father Rocky here at Relevant Radio, right? And you always want to, yeah, it's a really strong name. So Father Rock Karetsky. Karetsky. I hope I got that right. Father Rock Karetsky. Kind of sounds like Wayne Gretzky. Father Rock Karetsky. He's a Cistercian monk at Our Lady of Dallas Abbey. And he said this. He said, look, if you want to understand what penance is all about, why is it that we have to give penitents a penance at the end of confession? Why do we have to do that? Well, you really have to understand what sin is all about. And he said this, Father Rock Krizetsky, or Karetsky. I said that wrong. Sin has two basic aspects. Number one, you offend God. And he said, in the case of a mortal sin, I disrupt my relationship with God because I don't want to obey him. I put my will above the will of God. I want to be my own God. End of quote. That's a pretty good definition of mortal sin. You know, if it's such a grave sin that it literally breaks your relationship with God, then essentially what you're doing is you want to be your own God. That's a good way to put it. He goes on to say the relationship with God is immediately restored in a good confession when the priest gives me absolution. But the wound on my nature can be healed only in a longer process. Penance, therefore, has the goal of helping the relationship of the person with himself and with the world, with people, because that's where the wound and the hurt has taken place from sinning. I think that's a pretty good explanation, because Jesus was always preaching about the kingdom of God. That was the core of his message, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the kingdom of right relationships. I used to have a professor that said this all the time. It's the kingdom of right relationships. Having a right relationship with God, you could say that's the vertical plane, and a right relationship with one another, that you could say is the horizontal plane. The two form a cross. How poetic. You can definitely put that in a homily if there's any priests out there. That'll preach really well this weekend. So it's true that sin breaks the relationship with God in the sense of mortal sin. It certainly wounds the relationship with God in the sense of venial sin. And it also hurts our relationships with other people. And sometimes it flat out hurts them, period. And so there needs to be healing. You've got to reset that relationship with God. But every time we sin, it changes us. We can get forgiven for the sin, but it's affected us. It's created sort of this little wound in our soul, and that needs to be stitched up too. So that's where the penance comes in. So the guilt of the sin is forgiven. The eternal penalty of the sin is forgiven, especially in the case of mortal sin. It's eternal separation from God. We don't want that. So that is forgiven. However, there's still this idea of this gaping wound that needs to be stitched up, needs to be healed. And that's really where penance comes in. And this might be a silly example, but I remember when I was, I'll tell you a fault that I committed when I was a little kid, when I was in like grade primary. I was like really young. I was like 5 years old. So this kid in my class, Jamie, he had this pencil that I really liked. It had like a monkey on the end of it and stuff. And I was like, I got to have this. I don't have one of these. I want this. So I stole the kid's pencil. I'd never stolen anything in my life. And yeah, that was bad. That was really bad. That was really bad. Thanks for the sound effect, Patrick. Patrick Alog sitting in for producer Lucas today. And yeah, so I'd never done anything like that before. And it was incredibly hard for me to do that. It's very, very difficult. And maybe you've noticed this in your own life. The first time you commit a sin, it's pretty hard. Your conscience is screaming at you, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But then you do it. And then the next time it becomes a little bit easier, and then easier and easier and easier. And then finally it's second nature. It becomes habit. And that's really, really bad. That's where our hearts can get hardened, kind of like Pharaoh in the Old Testament. And so I remember I wanted this pencil. I thought I could get away with it. And you must think I'm a terrible, terrible person. I was five, okay? So just relax a little bit. But anyways, hopefully I'm better now, better version of myself. And the teacher's like, who stole Jamie's pencil? And Jamie was in tears. He was crying. I still remember this. And I didn't fess up. And I come to think of it, I hope I actually did get around to confessing this in the confessional. I'm sure I did. I'm sure it's covered. But I just remember thinking, wow, that was really bad, and just how difficult it was for me to do that. But then again, the more we commit sin, it just gets easier. And so this is the wound in our heart that needs to be healed. And this is what penance kind of helps us to do. So I want to hear about the harshest penance that you've ever received, or any questions you might have about it. 1-888-914 9149 is the number to call, toll free on Relevant Radio. We're going to go to the phones right now. Actually, we're going to go to Christine in Joliet, Illinois. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Cale. How are you? I hear you're a fellow Canadian.
Yeah. Are you? Oh, wow. Well, oh, Canada.
I'm a Canadian transplant. So.
You're an expat.
Yes.
In exile. Okay.
Well, we wanted to share a story about the harshest penance. Our family had gone to confession, and everyone was finished. Our family, we have 7 children. We're all waiting outside in the narthex. Like, where is our 9-year-old? Look, she's still praying. When she finally came out, she's like, I got a whole rosary.
Whoa.
So, at 9 years old. But I have a feeling after talking with her for a while, the priest had asked her if our family prayed a rosary, and said, yeah, we pray the rosary every day. So I think he meant for her to offer it the next time our family prayed it, but she took it as it's a right now thing.
As actually praying the whole rosary.
She prayed the entire rosary. So.
Wow, and she took care of that penance right away, like right in the church. You're all waiting for her. What's going on?
She absolutely did.
Wow, that's kind of a sweet story, and the fact that she did that right away, that's a great sign. And hey, Christine, thank you very much for calling. You've actually raised a really important point. I'm going to get to that in just a few minutes. When do you have to do the penance? Should you do it right away? We're going to tackle that in just a little bit. So thanks for the call. There's Christine, a fellow Canadian who's in Joliet, Illinois, home of the Blues Brothers, at least when they were in the Joliet prison. And anyway, so thanks for our call. Really, really good call there. We're going to go now to Ed in Chicago. Hi, Ed.
Hey, I just had a question. How long do you have to continue praying your penance?
Okay, my understanding is, that's a good question. My understanding is if you're given a penance, let's say one Hail Mary, let's say a light penance, then you only have to do it once. And then that's it for that time. So... yeah, you don't have to keep doing it again and again and again. So that's a good question. Should you do the penance more than once? Well, I mean, certainly you can pray as much as you would like. But my understanding is it's a one-shot thing. So you're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. Tell me about the harshest penance you've ever received. We're talking about penance. A great article in The Pillar today by Michelle McDaniel. Really, really cool. So... What is, again, this goal of penance is to bring about healing where the wound in your soul has taken place from sinning. And so she mentions that there's 4 elements. We all know this. There's 4 elements of the sacrament of penance. We've got contrition. You've got to be sorry for your sin when you go in there. If you're not sorry for your sin, then you know, really, what's the point? You're not fooling God. You might fool the priest, but... And I've got a priest friend, his name's Father Joe, and he's told me, now he's not breaking the confessional seal or anything, because he's not naming names or anything like that, but he said one time this guy came in to the confessional, and he said, you know, Father, I'm having an affair. And he's like, okay, are you planning on stopping this affair? And he's like, no. Right after I get out of this confessional, I'm probably going to go see the lady in about 20 minutes, so... He's like, I can't offer you absolution. Like, you basically told me you're not repentant. You know, this is ridiculous. Like, you've tied my hand. I can't raise my hand, you know, to bless you here because you yourself have tied me down. You've said I'm not sorry. So that's number one. I guess he wanted sort of a, you know, free ticket, you know, kind of monopoly. What's that thing? Don't pass go. You know, just keep going. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. So the 4 aspects of penance, of confession rather, is you've got contrition, you've got to be sorry, you've got to actually make the confession, confess your sins, then you get the absolution when the priest says, and it's really Jesus speaking through the priest, borrowing the vocal cords of the priest, I absolve you of your sins. And it's not Father Joe or Father Tim or whoever. So that's a big part of it, absolution. Then the last thing, of course, is penance. So those are the 4 elements that you need. And as far as what when you're confessing, you always have to remember there's 4 elements, but there's also the 3 C's, right? Your confession has to be complete. contrite, and hopefully concise. So we always see these long confessional lines where people are, they really want spiritual direction in the confessional, and maybe you should make an appointment. If you're going to be like 20 minutes telling, you know, there's other people on the line, you got to be a little bit cognizant of them as well. Sometimes there's only so much time allotted for confessions in parishes. So if you've really got a big story to tell, maybe make a separate appointment for spiritual direction later. And spiritual direction is really, really important. But a lot of people want that in the confessional. And hey, if there's nobody there and there's some time and the priest has time, yeah, go for it. But it's not always the place to do it. So the Catechism says this, that when we sin, it hurts other people. It also injures the sinner himself. Relationships with God and neighbor. So when we are receiving this absolution in the confessional, it takes away sin, but it doesn't give a full remedy for all the disorders that sin has caused. Raised up from sin, the sinner must still recover his full spiritual health by doing something more to make amends for the sin. He must make satisfaction for or expiate his sins. This satisfaction is also called penance. So I always think a great biblical example of this is the story of Zacchaeus. And this is in Luke chapter 19. And of course, Zacchaeus, the little guy, the tax collector in Jericho. Let me just read it to you real quick. This is in Luke 19. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So really the penance part for Zacchaeus was, hey, if I've ripped off anybody in my life as a tax collector, which I have, by the way, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anybody of anything, I'm going to restore it fourfold. I'm going to pay back four times as much as I've stolen. So that's a good example of penance after forgiveness. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. What's the harshest penance you've ever got? If you're on the line, please stay there. We'll get to you. Got a couple lines open right now if you want to call 1-888-914-9149. Got to take a quick break. Be right back.
I would like to help you get a jump start on your Christmas. I'm not talking.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We're having a fun discussion about penance. And are priests allowed to give really harsh penances? What's that all about? What is penance all about in general? What's the harshest penance you've ever gotten? 1-888-914-9149. I don't want to know your sin. Keep it under the confessional seal. It's between you and God. All I want to know. Well, he's already forgotten it. He's thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness, you know. That's the great thing about divine mercy. But yeah, you can talk about your penance. 1-888-914-9149. Hey, I got to remind you of this as well. Speaking of sinners, we need to pray for sinners, including ourselves. I want you to join Relevant Radio tomorrow, Saturday, 11 a.m. Central. We're going to be broadcasting the Apparition Anniversary Mass from the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, H-E-L-P, Help. And that's different from Our Lady of Good Health, and Father Rocky's always making sure to spell that out because it sounds the same. But Our Lady of Good Help is the only approved Marian apparition site in the entire United States. And it commemorates when Our Lady appeared in October of 1859, identifying herself as the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners. And so you're going to be able to get in on this tomorrow. So just be cognizant of the fact that normally the Mass is at noon on Relevant Radio on weekdays. But, tomorrow it's going to be just backed up an hour earlier to 11 a.m. Central because of this special feast. And Bishop David Ricken, the Bishop of Green Bay, is going to celebrate this very, very special broadcast. So once again, tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, it's going to replace the regular noon Central Mass, and you can listen, of course, on your local relevant radio station. We've got almost 200 stations nationwide, or you can watch online at relevantradio.com. If you want a video stream, you can also listen or watch through the Relevant Radio app. So that's tomorrow. Really cool site, really cool apparition site. The only approved one in the United States. Let's go to the phones right now. Molly is calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Molly, I'm sorry about the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. It was a sad day in Cardinalville, that's for sure.
Patrick Alog, yeah. he's gloating right now because he's a big Dodger fan. He's from SoCal.
Oh, I know. I will root for Patrick as well.
Okay. I guess it makes the Cardinals look better, right? The further the Dodgers
Thank you,
go,
Molly.
Right?
So, thank you.
Yeah, and Patrick's very grateful. He's very grateful. And So I'm sure you didn't call to talk about baseball. So what are you thinking? What's your thought on this?
Well, actually, I wanted to tell you a cute story, Cale.
Sure.
When my son was making his first confession, mm-hmm. he's now 32.
Okay.
But at the time, he came out of the confessional and he ran up to me and said, "Mom, I can't remember if Father told me to say three Hail Marys or 300. So I didn't laugh. I just said, "Oh, honey, I think Father meant three Hail Marys." And oh my gosh, the look on his face.
Relief.
Yeah, it was really cute though. Really cute.
Yeah, it's a good thing he checked. It's a good thing he checked. There was that 9-year-old girl that was mentioned earlier who prayed the whole rosary, and that was a good thing for her too.
Oh, I know, I heard her. In fact, her mother's story reminded me of Edward. Yes.
Yeah, that is a cute story, Molly. Thank you so much for calling in, and you have a blessed weekend, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Your show, I love your show, Cale, and keep up the good work. You're a blessing to all of us.
Oh, thank you so much, Molly. Please pray for me. I'll pray for you too. I really appreciate that. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. That was great. Molly from St. Louis. That was awesome. Hey, we're going to go now to Providence, Rhode Island. We're going to go to Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Cale. How are you?
I'm great, sir.
Yeah,
Thank you, sir. I want to maybe
relieve your conscience a little bit from what I was brought up. You said you were 5 years old when you stole that pencil.
Yeah.
I thought the age of reason was 7. So you technically can't commit a sin until you're 7 years old because you haven't reached the age of 7. And then when you're 7, you make your first confession and your first communion. So I'm out there feel a little bit better.
I just feel like a piano was lifted off my back. Yeah, I appreciate that, Steve. Yeah, thanks for the reminder. And I hope my daughter isn't listening right now because she's 5. So I don't want her to think she's got a free ride for the next couple of years. But that's true. That's true, right? The age of reason and to be actually guilty of sin, you've got to get to that age of reason and be able. And where exactly is that age of reason? I know people argue about this and parents argue about this. It's like, I don't know, my kid, I'm pretty sure they knew what they did was wrong. And so, Steve, I think I did too when I was 5. I knew it was wrong. I did it. It was wrong. It's embarrassing. I'm ashamed about it even to this day. But yeah, that's true, Steve. I do appreciate that. Good insight there on the age of reason. First confession, first communion. That's a good, really good reminder. So let's get back to this. And if you want to call in, 1-888-914-9149. Just want to get back to this. Really, really good. And I'll link to this later. I'll tweet it out. Maybe we can put it also in the show notes, Patrick. This great article by Michelle McDaniel from Word on Fire. She works with Word on Fire, and this is certainly on fuego, this article that she put out about penance. And so she interviewed these three priests. One of them was Father Rock Koretsky. And I think I've said his name about 18 different times already, so in 18 different ways, and hopefully I one of them will be right. And so one of the things that he said about penance was that the priest needs to take into account the penitent's personal situation when they're giving a penance out to you. They've got to seek your spiritual good. And this is really what the Catechism says as well. It has to, the penance needs to correspond as far as possible with the gravity and nature of the sins committed. So it can consist of prayer, an offering, works of mercy, service of neighbor, voluntary self-denial, sacrifices, and above all, the patient acceptance of the crosses that we must bear in life. They're not one size fits all. So when you give a penance, Father Koretsky says it's not one size fits all. And it's not even right to give everybody the same penance because there are lots of variables. For example, personal habits, how formed is their conscience? How culpable are they? And so this is all part of the judgment that's involved for the confessor in terms of doling out different penances. And so, yeah, that's a really important point there, I think. And I'll get into what these other two priests have to say as well. The next priest that she interviewed about this, Michelle McDaniel, was Father Deo Gratius Echiza. Father Deo Gratius. I love that name. What a great name for a priest. It means thanks be to God. Father Deo Gratius. Deo Gratius. Now, he is a vice rector of formation. He's a professor at Notre Dame Seminary in Louisiana. That's the home of the great Dr. Brant Pitre as well, who teaches there. And he said that priests must ensure that the penances that they give do good for penitents. They're neither too lax nor too punitive. He did say this, quote, "There can be too harsh a penance. There can be a case of hitting a fly with an axe. Or you could have the opposite, just a little light slap on the wrist." So you want to kind of find that nice golden mean, if you will, you know, what the most appropriate penance is. So how does a priest decide this? He says that you've really got to consider as a priest whether it serves the purposes of restitution and renewal of life. Can the penitent actually accomplish the penance? Like if you give somebody a penance that it's not realistic that they can get it done, that doesn't make any sense. And it also has to be proportionate to the gravity of the sin. But aside from these basic principles, they have a lot of flexibility in assigning penances. And I'm always grateful for the light penances, you know, like one Hail Mary. I'm like, oh, great. That's a relief. But I'll tell you, I promise you, the harshest one I ever got, I'm not going to tell you what I did. Don't even ask. But the priest told me to pray the Stations of the Cross. I was like, oh, man, I don't have time for this. I was like, wow, that is harsh, man. That is so harsh. I did it. It did me good. Definitely did me good. That was definitely the most. Some of you out there are probably saying, oh, man, that was pretty light. You should see what I had to do. I want to know. 1-888-914-9149. But that was good for me. Do the Stations of the Cross. So I want to hear what your thoughts are on this. Let's go to the phones. Christy is calling from Central California. Hi, Christy.
Hi. So I had an interesting, I guess, penance. I had gone into confession with my three young children, and all under five, and I was trying to, you know, keep them quiet and entertained and in their stroller. And at the end of it, you know, I got like my absolution, my blessing, and I'm going to leave. And I said, wait, Father, like, what's my penance? Like, you didn't tell me what my penance was. And he said, oh, no, don't worry about it. You're doing enough. And it just made me feel like maybe my children are my tenants, I guess. I don't know.
You're doing it now. You know, you're looking after these three kids and making the effort to go to confession. Yeah, that's really a sweet story. And yeah, I mean, wow. Parenting is certainly, I don't know if you agree with this, Christy, but somebody once said this, and I thought it was like maybe the best line I've ever heard. This mom who, you know, had some heartbreak in her life. She said this, she said, parenting is like, and she was talking to somebody who unfortunately wasn't able to have children of their own. And, you know, that's a cross to bear as well. And she said, you know, parenting is, it's like a rose with thorns, right? It's beautiful, but there's also some pain involved too. And, how true is that? And so, yeah, it's definitely an effort. And I think that's just awesome what he said to you, Christy. That's really, really great.
Oh, thank you. That's a good analogy with the rose.
Yeah, that always struck me. It always kind of stuck in me like a thorn from a rose, I guess. So we're going to go now to Ruben, who's calling from also from California, from Pico Rivera. Hi, Ruben.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Good. You know, I have a story, and, you know, I was around the same age, 5, maybe 6 years old, and I remember I was a kindergartner, and I was a really bad boy, and I didn't like rats. My teacher had a rat, and I cut its tail, and I know, that was really bad. You know, but I never confessed it to her. I mean, she was very adamant about finding out who did that. And you know, I just never confessed it. It was, it's so awful. But, you know, later on in life, I did ask for forgiveness so that it was just such a bad thing for me to do. But, you know, my penance was 2 rosaries. This was for something entirely different. It was later on in life. I hadn't gone to confession in many years. And so I had a lot to confess, and that was my penance, 2 rosaries.
Two rosaries.
I mean, it was kind of light, but at the same, 2 rosaries, that's about an hour's time, right?
Yeah, if you pray it slowly, I guess, for sure. And well, a pet rat, oh my goodness, who has pet rats in the first place? Was it a pet, or was it a...
Especially in those days, I guess. I was like 5 or 6 years old, and we're talking about maybe 1966, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah, so who's got a pet rat?
Well, all right. Well, yeah. Oof. Well, that was a harrowing story, and I wouldn't want to touch a rat and go near it to cut off its tail. But anyways, but I appreciate that call, Ruben. Thanks for listening to the show, and have an awesome weekend.
All right, you too, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it. Thanks so much, Ruben, calling from California. So we're talking about this article on penance from Michelle McDaniel, writing for The Pillar. And in terms of what is an appropriate penance, a priest does have a pretty good deal of flexibility in assigning those penances. And I think it's probably helps them a lot. Obviously you have a right to anonymity in the confessional. They can't say anything or act on any information you give them in the confessional anyway. Some priests tell me that their parishioners come in and try to disguise their voice in the confessional, like, oh, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. And I was like, okay. They're thinking, I know it's you, Bob. You know, I can tell. But even if they do know it's you, they can't act on anything. So they just forget about it as soon as they get out. But if they do, you know, if you're in the process of maybe going to spiritual direction and confession with a priest, a spiritual director, if your spiritual director is a priest, you know, very often it's kind of a 2-for-1 shot, and you can, they can help a little bit with the penances because they do know who they're talking to, and they kind of know how gentle they should be. I must confess, I'm not going to confess anything to you, but what I am going to confess is that I personally have never had an issue with a priest being overly harsh. Even that one harsh, quote unquote, harsh penance I got, I didn't think that was that bad. I remember a few years ago, I think it was Pope Francis, he said something about the confessional shouldn't be a torture chamber. You know, I've never experienced that myself. I've never experienced anything like that. But maybe in South America, he's from Argentina, maybe there is a tendency maybe to be a bit more harsh. I don't know whether that's partially a cultural thing. I don't know, but I've never experienced that. And I'm thankful for the light penances. So life can be penitential on its own, right? At any rate, Father Deo Gratius, who was also interviewed for the article, one of the things, this is really cool. I think this is a great idea. If there's any priests out there listening, I think this is a great idea. I would totally use this if I was a priest. He said that this is what he does when he gives people penances. He asks them that, you know, if he's going to give them some prayer to do as a penance, if they confess certain sins against other people, he asks them to pray for those that they have harmed. You know, when they do their penance, they do their prayer, whatever it is that he assigns, pray for those people that they have harmed or offended by their actions. And he says he wants to link the penance prayer to the relationship, the particular relationship that prayer is supposed to help stitch back together, help to repair that relationship. Remember that right relationship with God, right relationship with others. And then he gave, this is by far the best analogy I've ever heard for the difference between the absolution, the actual forgiveness part of the confession, and the penance. This is a great analogy that he gives, Father Deo Gratias. He says, he likened it to a hip replacement. And maybe some of you out there have had your hips replaced. He says, absolution restores our relationship with God, essentially granting us a new hip. But we need rehabilitation to continue with a healthy life, and that is the role that penance plays. That is a super analogy. I love that. It's like getting a hip replacement. So getting that new hip, that's getting forgiveness, right? That's getting the life of God back in your soul. But you need rehab. You got to learn to walk again. You got to learn to, what is life like with this new hip? And if you don't do your rehab, you know, you could be in some trouble. And one of my professors recently got a hip replacement, and he's so happy with it. It's given him a new lease on life. So that's such a perfect analogy, a hip replacement. And hey, if you think about it, wrestling with God, like Jacob, you know, like, oh, you got injured in the hip. You know, I don't know if the priest was thinking of that, but hey, how about that? Lots of hip stories in the Bible. And then the last priest that Michelle McDaniel interviewed for this article on penance for the pillar was Father Thomas Esposito, who was also from Our Lady of Dallas Abbey. And this is really cool, too. This is what he gives for penances. He asks people to read the Psalms in the Old Testament. And that's really encouraging as well. And maybe this has happened to you. This happened to me a couple times where a priest has asked me to read Psalm 51, written by David. And of course, he wrote that after he'd committed some pretty major sins, major league sins, adultery, murder, big time. And he was restored by God. There was a price to pay. But he wrote Psalm 51, which is a beautiful penitential prayer. And so that's what Father Thomas Esposito does. He wants people to read the Psalms. Because when you read the Psalms, very often they're written in first person, and it can help you make it your own. When you read the Psalm, it can really make those words your own, make it your prayer as you're trying to reconnect. And this is a beautiful Psalm about a relationship with God that we need to have, and we can pour out our hearts to God. We can show how contrite we are. And he talks about the penitential psalms. In Psalm 51, I just mentioned, it's also known as the Miserere. But there are more. Psalm 16 is a good one. Preserve me, God, I take refuge in you. Psalm 27, and that has the famous line, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? A beautiful, beautiful psalm. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's also a great one. So those are psalms that he will go to again and again. Psalm 16, Psalm 27, Psalm 91. And he says, such a neglected part of the church's treasures, their prayer tradition. He wants people to pray the psalms, fall in love with them. And he actually has a doctorate in sacred scripture, and he says that one of his life goals is to increase biblical literacy. And the Psalms are really, really great to use as a penance. I think that's really, really good. So we're going to be back with much more of this. If you want to call in, 1-888-914-9149. Be right back after this short break. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I hope you're having a fantastic Friday. We're having a whale of a time. Talking about penance, a really cool story that we were discussing by Michelle McDaniel from Pillar Catholic that came out. And it really just a fascinating perspective from priests on penances. You know, what's too harsh? What can you do? What can't you do? What is this all about? I want to hear about your penances, the harshest one you've ever got. 1-888-914-9149. I said a whale of a time. Well, speaking of a whale, check out our latest series on Jonah, the book of Jonah. How's that for a segue? And you can check it out on the Faith Explained show. We just wrapped it up. a nice four-part series on Jonah. So check it out. It's really cool. It's a great biblical book, and you can find those in the archives for The Faith Explained at relevantradio.com and also through the app. And then on Monday, we're going to tell you a little bit about what Jesus said about Jonah. And that's going to be at 12:30 Central on Relevant Radio on Monday. So let's go back to the phones right now. We're going to go to Sean in Tampa. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Cale.
Good to talk to you, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man, here in Champa Bay.
I was going to say that, yeah, Champa Bay. Good old TB12 is down there, and he's having a great time. And, of course, the Lightning, Stanley Cup champs, and, of course, the Rays. The Rays are looking pretty good right now, so see what they can do.
Yeah, they sure are.
So what's your penance story?
So right now, what's going on in the Champa Bay area is 40 Days for Life, I had a priest friend of mine tell me that that's one of the things he uses for a penance to get people out there to pray at the abortion mill. That he'll, because he knows that there are people out there now, so they don't have to go out there by themselves. It's probably something they have never done.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to, a good segue to get people to, pray in a peaceful presence outside the abortion mill for the unborn and for the mothers.
Yeah.
So I thought that was quite.
That's interesting.
Quite an idea.
Yeah, that is quite an idea. I've never heard that before, but obviously, yeah, as you said, we're in the midst of 40 Days for Life, big campaign, and we were really close here at Relevant Radio to 400 million memorares that we're praying for an end to abortion, so that fits right in with that. Hey, Sean, have an amazing weekend. Enjoy all the games, and thanks for calling in. I really appreciate that story. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks for all you do. Appreciate it. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. Thanks. That was Sean in Champa Bay. Yeah, so it's a really interesting question about, one question that comes up a lot is, can you actually ask for a different penance? And this was mentioned in the article by Michelle McDaniel. A lot of people are looking for an answer to that question. Well, one of the things that you're supposed to do, apparently, as a priest, I wouldn't know, I'm not a priest, but you're supposed to try to make sure that your penitent can actually complete that penance as far as you're able to. And so one of the priests that was profiled in this story, Father Rock Kerezti, I think it's the 19th different way I pronounced his name in this episode, but what he does is he actually asks people in the confessional if they're able to complete the penance before they leave the church. Because remember that story that one of the callers called in earlier with a story about her daughter who misunderstood the priest. He just wanted her to participate in praying the rosary with her family. And she thought he said, pray the rosary right now in the church. And they're waiting for her. It's been 15 minutes. Where is she? Well, the idea is, if you can, I mean, again, there may be some other penances that are involved, like the one that was just mentioned. But Father Kerezti says, I want to make sure that they can complete their penance before they leave the church, and also to confirm that it seems fair to them so that it's able to be completed. And if a penitent feels that the assigned penance is impossible to accomplish, inappropriate, too severe, or maybe too lax, maybe they think, oh, it's not strong enough, you're actually allowed to ask for a new one. And so I didn't know that. So you might want to try that. No. Try again, Father. I don't like that one. Let's give me a new one. But obviously, you know, it has to be for a serious reason. But there may indeed be reasons why I can't accomplish a certain penance because of my life situation, because of physical, I can't physically do what's being asked, whatever. There may be some different situations. And there's also an example that one of the priests, Father Deogratias, who's also interviewed in the piece, one of the examples that he gave was of an over-scrupulous penitent that might not feel that he or she completed the penance well enough in order to be forgiven. So here's something that you need to understand. Number one, the forgiveness is separate from doing the penance. Okay, so they're two separate things. So if he's given you the absolution, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. The penance is a different deal entirely. So what happens if you forget to do your penance? What happens if you forget? Well, apparently it's a sin not to do your penance, so maybe you got to go back to confession. But, you know, if you forget to do it, oh, okay, just maybe remember that in your next confession, bring it up. But lots of people are overly scrupulous, and I have to confess, you can't see me right now, but I got my hand in the air. I have definitely been guilty of scrupulosity. And so what Father Deo Gratias tries to do is he actually helps the individual pray the penance in the confessional before they leave. Hey, I'll pray with you. You can do it right here before you go. And that way, if somebody's really scrupulous, they can know, hey, don't worry, you've done it all. Just relax. It's all good. Your sins have been forgiven, and you did the penance right. So don't worry. Oh, did I do it right? Did I do the penance properly? Don't worry about that. So, and scrupulosity is a real thing. It's a real thing. So that's a great touch of mercy there by that priest. And that's really what it's all about. It's helping people understand Christ is so merciful. He wants us to go to confession. He wants us to really feel that healing. And yeah, that's what's all about. So good. We're going to go now to Teresa in West Covina, California. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Cale. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Great. I was thinking of bad penances, and I really didn't have a bad one, but this mm-hmm. one came to mind, and it was kind of funny. I was in fifth grade, and my mother had gone into the confessional and came out. Then I went in, and I was kneeling and doing penance. And I knelt there for a few minutes, and I was still there, you know, a little bit longer and longer. My mom looked at me, and she goes, what on earth did you do? And then I told her mom, I go, Father told me to pray for everyone in the family. I was praying for like 12 different people, so it took me a long time. But I remember that when she looked at me, she goes, what on earth have you done?
12 people in the family, yeah. So yeah, you're busy for a little while, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing, and I'm sure they spiritually benefited from that as well. So really appreciate that, Teresa. That's a great story. Thanks for calling in. That was Teresa in West Covina, California. God bless you. We're going to go now to Mike in Gallup, New Mexico. Hi, Mike.
Hello. I had a question on the how many times you go to confession. You know, some people forget. Some people like you remember everything. But mm-hmm. I have sins that I have remembered.
Yep.
So do I need to go right back to confession?
Well, that's a really good question, Mike. And let me just answer it real quick, because I'm sure that's on a lot of people's minds. So you need to confess definitely all the mortal sins that you can remember in number and in kind. And venial sins are optional, but you can, you know, maybe should confess those as well. But the mortal sins, for sure, you've got to do that. Now, what happens if you forget? Oh, my gosh, I did this. I forgot. Well, don't worry. As long as you're sincere and remembered all you could in the confessional, it's forgiven. But simply mention that the next time, if it's a serious sin, next time you go to, but don't worry about whether or not you're forgiven, but just mention it next time you go to confession. I think that's key. And hey, Father Matthew Spencer is sitting in for Timory, and he's a priest. You can ask him, hey, how do you handle all this? You can call in and ask him. He's going to be up next on Trending. And I hope you guys have an awesome weekend. Patrick Alog produced today, sitting in for producer Lucas, and Maggie Greschel took your calls. The very special Maggie Greschel. So God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.